Tonight I'd like to introduce my message with a few verses from the book of Revelation, chapter 3. This is the letter to the church in Philadelphia. Beginning with verse 7, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. This is Jesus speaking. He's dictating this letter to the apostle. The words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one will open. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you, because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So that letter was written not just to the church of Philadelphia, but also written to us, because he says to the churches. In that, I want to focus on these words. Behold, I have set before you an open door. And on the words of him who spoke, he said, I am the one who has the key of David, and I open, and no one can shut. I close, and no one can open. What's he saying there? Well, he's saying many things. And in many different circumstances, maybe he means this in one time and something else in a different time, because there are different doors that are being opened or closed from time to time. Right now, to us at Eastern European Mission, he is saying, behold, I have set before you an open door. Now, when we began way back in the bad old days of the communist empire, the Russian Empire, there was a door that the Russians had tried to close, but God opened it. He opened it through smugglers. You know, God uses many ways to get his message across, doesn't he? Well, I think when I was here once before, I told you about the man whose Bible was taken from him and then tossed out of a train window. But God used that Bible and that action by that guard to bring his word to somebody who was yearning for it. And it bore fruit. It bore fruit. You see, God can deliver his word many times, many ways. Sometimes people say to me, yeah, Jerry, you can go over there or to India and give away Bibles, but they'll just take them down the street and sell them to somebody. I said, so what? Somebody's got it, they wanted it. Or he wouldn't have bought it from that scoundrel that took it from you. And God will deal with him in his own time. Right? A friend of mine that does a good bit of work in India, as I understand this congregation also does, he said when he first went over there and started giving away Bibles, he was kind of put out when somebody got two or three of them, and then he saw him down the street selling them. until the man that he was with says, "Don't worry about that, Bruce. Just take it easy. Let him take them, because he's selling them to people that want them." So he learned, as I learned, don't be afraid if somebody does that. Why? God has more ways than we know to get his word to people who need it and who want it. Of course, a lot of people had been praying and praying and praying that the Iron Curtain would come down. Guess what? God brought it down. And as soon as he did, there was a whole flood of people that went over to Russia, to Ukraine, to all of the places of Eastern Europe. They were going. We were excited to go, and we wanted to go and to share the good news. Guess where they got their Bibles? EEM had a great big printing press in Vienna that ran almost constantly for those early years, taking Bibles and other literature that we turned out so that people could have the message in written form. Then in 1998, God opened another door that it just floored us. Russian Minister of Education came to us and said, we'd already been working with him. He wanted something to help develop character in the students that he was responsible for, a whole state-like region of southwestern Siberia, large state. He wanted something to help develop character in his students. And so we developed some character-building lessons that used biblical principles, but they didn't really use the Bible. Because we were thinking, you know, we're all conditioned by our own environment somewhat, aren't we? And we were thinking, as Americans would think, now what could we do that would be appropriate in school? And so we wrote some character lessons that would be appropriate for use in an American school. He came back and he said, well, this is good, but I want something more than this. I want the Bible. Guess what we said at first? We don't have the resources. Guess what he said? Find them. And so the idea of $1 Million Sunday was born. Let's get congregations to participate with us, to partner with us, taking up a special contribution or however they choose to do it, and many congregations working together, see if we can't raise the $1 Million that it will take to do this project. And that was the first that I really knew anything at all about Eastern European mission, when someone visited the congregation where I was serving as an elder and made a presentation on this opportunity, and I sat where you're sitting right now, and chills went up my spine. Before I left the room that day, people were coming to me and saying, Jerry, if you elders don't get behind this, there's something wrong with you. They didn't have to convince me or any of the other elders. We were on board because of what we heard. The idea that our former enemies, the atheistic communist people of Russia, were now saying, we want Bibles for our children so that they can develop worthwhile character in life. That was in 1998. 3 years later, we had a similar opportunity in a smaller region, and we had another $1 Million Sunday that also had another objective, and that was to send a small library of books to families who had requested them in response to a radio program. There were 40,000 of them backlogged that we needed to get delivered, and this helped provide that. That was 2001. 2004, another school region. 2006, another. 2008, now one in Ukraine, the Donetsk region. Again, the largest region of Ukraine, 10% of the population, wanted Bibles for their schools. Only this time they said, could you deliver them for us? In Russia, we had just delivered them to the Ministry of Education, and they took care of distributing them to the schools. But in Ukraine, they said, would you help us with the distribution? Could you distribute them? Guess what? That gave us the opportunity to use the local Christians in that region, which just by happenstance, if you believe in such happenstance when God is involved, by happenstance, that region had more churches of Christ in it than all the rest of Ukraine put together. And Ukraine has more churches of Christ than the rest of Europe put together. And so there were people there who were anxious to help, and they did with a will. They helped, and they made friends with people in the schools. Some of them were invited back to teach in the schools or to teach the teachers. God was opening doors. Then in 2010, for the first time, we did two states at a time. They were small ones, one in Russia, one in Ukraine. But we did them. And then last year in 2012, again, two states, both of these in Ukraine, asked for Bibles for their schools. And we provided them. Now, these two were a bit larger than the two that we had done 2 years before that. But God still provided and made the means available. This time, last year, the total response to our $1 million Sunday appeal was $1.8 million. It didn't take all of that. But if you look at our campaign literature, somewhere in it there will be a small print line that says, any excess over what's needed for this project will be used for other purposes for Eastern European Missions ministry of providing Bibles to those who need them. And so there was some excess that went into our general ministry of providing Bibles to those who need them, Bibles and other spiritual literature. Guess what? At the end of last year, another region asked us for Bibles for their schools, right at the end of the year. This one region had almost as many schools in it as the two did that we did and provided last year in 2012. And so we began gearing up for this and had a nice brochure all put together. And then early this year, we got another letter from another region, saying, could we have Bibles for our schools as well? And lo and behold, they had about half as many as the first one. And so you put them together, and we got about half again as many, almost half again as many this year in schools that have asked for Bibles. We took that one on. But they said, oh, by the way, we're also concerned about the adults in our region, in our state, who don't have children in school. And if they've got kids in school, the kids can check Bibles out at school and they can take them home and the parents can read them. But we've got a lot of people that don't have kids in school. I expect there's quite a few that way here, aren't there? That don't have kids or grandkids that are in school right now. So how would it be if you were also to provide Bibles for our 570 public libraries in our state? Okay, that added to the project. But it's a very significant addition for this reason. We've put Bibles in libraries before in Russia and other places in Ukraine. And librarians tell us sometimes after they've had the books for 2 or 3 years or more, they'll say, you know, these books have never been on the shelf. You never put them out? No, that's not it. We put them out all right, but as soon as they get on the shelf, somebody checks them out, and people know they're here, and they put their name down on a waiting list. And so as soon as they come in, they go right back out again. So these books have never really been on our shelves in our libraries. Why? Because people are anxious to get it to read. You know, libraries in this country, what are libraries used for? Kid stuff? How many adults go to a library and check out books? Now, my wife does, and some of the older folks do. But most younger people don't. They look stuff up online if they want to know something. They don't go to the library for the kind of stuff that we used to go to the library for. They'll look it up online. They'll find their answers somewhere else. Or they're so full of other kinds of entertainment that they don't read much for entertainment anymore. And my daughter reads, but she buys her books. She didn't go to the library for them. She has rooms full of books, it seems. My son, he used to read when he was young, but the only thing he reads now is contracts and stuff like that, something having to do with his job. He doesn't read for pleasure. He doesn't go to the library for those things that he needs. I think most people are like that. But in those countries, they don't have the assets, the money to buy books for themselves. If they're going to read at all, it has to be through a library, and they do. They read a lot. Now, this means that this year, for the first time, we've got $1 million Sundays in back-to-back years. Before it was 3 years, 3 years, 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. This time, there was one last April, a year ago April of last year, and there's one this September. So for the first time in back-to-back years, 17 months apart, but still back-to-back years. Why is that happening? I've already told you. God said, behold, I have put before you an open door, and no one can shut it. That's the reason. God is at work. In the nation of Ukraine and in some of the other nations of the old communist bloc of countries, God is at work. Well, what good does it do? What good does it do to put Bibles in schools? Well, let them tell you. The teachers who teach Bible in the schools, let them tell you why it is important. Shall we have that first DVD, please? The teachers get it. He warned me that it would take about a minute to get it right.
Я хочу сказать, I would like to say that we never had enough Bibles in Ukrainian language. Our kids from the first grade, they really love hearing about God.
Як тільки починаєш щось говорити про Бога, рот відкритий, очі світяться.
And once you start speaking about God, they open their mouths and their eyes are shining.
І тому Біблія для юних читачів,
and some Bible for young readers,
це те, що треба,
is what we needed.
По-друге, я дуже хочу, щоб вивчення і пізнання Бога змінювало людей. Змінювало дітей. Так. І кінцевий результат, те, що ми всі очікуємо, ми би хотіли, я би хотіла, щоб ми всі зустрілися з Богом.
Що з нами усвідомити, що все, що створено в цьому світі, це все створено Богом. І що дитина повинна створена, народжена для того, щоб творити добро, бути людиною, яка повинна дотримуватися, перш за все, заповіді Божих і далі рухатися по життю.
Ще раз від імені педагогічного колективу і учнівського колективу ми дякуємо вам за отриману літературу. І вона буде надзвичайно корисною і повчальною для учнів. І не буде просто лежати і пилитися на полицях бібліотеки, а звичайно, що кожна дитина зможе погортати сторінки цієї літератури.
See what they said? We want our students to come to know God, to know what He wants from them in their lives. Now, the librarians in Ukrainian schools, next to the principal, the librarian is the most important person because she's, or he, usually she, is responsible for the care of all of the books. And they don't have the money to replace books or to buy them many times. We have taken Bibles to schools where that was the first books of any kind they had received in years. They make do with what they can. And the librarian is a very important person. And here's what they say about the Bible in school. First one is the head librarian for the entire region. And she talks about it from a professional point of view, but also from a spiritual point of view. Listen.
Перш за все, мрія, напевно, кожної людини, і мами, зокрема, щоб Бог змінив серце кожного, достукався до серця кожного і змінити разом світ на краще за допомогою, перш за все, Бога. Можна багато говорити різного. Хочу сказати, що такі традиції, які започатковані безпосередньо в нас бібліотекарів, щоб вони передавалися і ширилися, тому що Слово Боже об'єднує, допомагає, підтримує, направляє і змінює серця. А ми насправді, як вже напевно всі знають, що Біблія з грецької в перекладі означає книга. Ну, напевно, звідси і слово бібліотека. Ось. І хто, як не нам, бібліотечним працівникам, так, ми повинні перш за все достеменно знати книгу книг, книгу мудрості, Біблії. І вона повинна бути насправді настільною книгою не тільки в кожному домі, а й і в закладі.
Идут другими путями, чем их родители. Просто есть у меня лично много таких примеров, когда дети из неблагополучных семей, когда родители, скажем, ну, не очень приделяли внимание, они благодаря этим урокам, благодаря той литературе, которую вы предоставляете и мы даем детям, они становились другими. Они создавали свои семьи, они читают и потом пересказывают. И они спрашивают, а вот видите, а вот там то-то, то-то. И они помнят, да. Потому что у них идет научно-образное мышление, это немножко совсем другое. И эти книги, они очень хорошие. Они помогают, помогают в жизни многих детей наших.
Think about what they said. The Bible ought to be very well known by the librarians. It ought to be in every home. It ought to be on every desk, even in the government institutions, such as schools, or maybe even on a prime minister's desk. The way that many of our early presidents were biblical, had biblical knowledge that was extensive. These Ukrainians continue to amaze me. About 6 years ago, they began a program that we didn't know anything about at the time. It wasn't our doing, it was theirs. One of the universities began a program called they call it a Bible Olympiad, a Biblical Olympics. It's kind of like a Bible Bowl. And it's open to school children from first grade right on up through high school. Each student is required to make a presentation, and each student is also required to take a test of their general Bible knowledge. The man who started this and who is still the spark plug behind it, and it's a growing movement. When we first got involved with it, it was about the third or fourth year of its existence. And that year they had three times as many kids come for this as they were expecting. They were expecting about 100. They had about 300. Because more schools were getting involved and getting interested. So they had to divide it then so that they would have local competitions and regional competitions before they would come to the nationals at the university. And it was in that third year, I believe, that we began to be a co-sponsor at their invitation. Now in this DVD, which is a little bit longer than the first two, you will see the man who started the program welcoming the group that was there for the competition last year. I think it's in March each year. Well, this would have been in March of 2012 that he was giving this welcome. You will see some of the kids as they make their presentations. You won't hear them, but you will just see them and taking their test. And then at the end of it, you will see someone from Eastern European Mission passing out Bibles to all of the participants, because everyone who participates in this is a winner. Okay?
учасники 5-ї української олімпіади юні знавці Біблії. Відкривши Святе Письмо у Євангелії від Матфея в 19 розділі, ми читаємо такі важливі для кожної дитини, для кожного батька, для кожного вчителя слова. Тоді привели до нього дітей, щоб він поклав на них руки і помолився. Учні ж забороняли їх. Але Ісус сказав: «Пустіть дітей і не перешкоджайте їм приходити до мене, бо таких є Царство Боже». І важливо, говорячи словами мудрого Соломона, наставити юнака на початку його шляху, і коли він виросте, не зверне з нього. Чим предметом у школі, і діти, які вивчають предмети духовного ранення спрямування, радикально відрізняються від своїх ровесників за рівнем готовності. Діти з нетерпінням чекають дня, коли в них будуть уроки християнської етики.
I have a single copy of some of the posters and things that the children made to use in their presentations. It'll be lying on the desk outside where you'll be able to look at it, look through it. I might ought to add that all of the materials in this booklet are from first through fourth graders. It's not from the older kids at all. It's the first through the fourth grade. Also out there, I have some newsletters of what EEM has been up to. This is our latest one. I have a few copies of a couple of our older ones as well. And it's not just kids in school that EEM is interested in. We're interested in everyone. This is one of our latest editions of the Bible that we're distributing. Large print for people who a little more like me. Got to get it out here to be able to read it. And it's pretty much flying off the shelves. It also is proving to be very popular in our work. We don't forget about our work with the churches, with others, while we're involved with the schools. In fact, what we're doing other than these special million-dollar Sunday efforts is actually even larger than what we do in the million-dollar Sunday efforts when it's dollars and cents. We put more money into our regular work than we do into the million-dollar Sunday efforts, even in the years when we have the million-dollar Sundays. What you have been giving goes into that regular work, providing things like this large print Bible, Bible correspondence courses that are sent out in response to TV ads or radio ads or programs where people tune in and listen or watch a gospel message. And then they ask for some literature and we provide it. And hundreds, yes, even thousands, have obeyed the gospel because of these particular ministries. So there is a great deal that is going on. I'd like to leave you with one more DVD. It's a short one, the shortest one you'll see tonight. And it's a promo for the Million Dollar Sunday coming up in September. And it's mainly the word da. Okay? We want everyone to get it. Da. Yes. The question that I want to leave you with right now, though, is one for you. Will you say da, yes, to helping us to say da to the people of Ukraine who've asked for Bibles in their schools? There's another question that someone far greater than I has asked. And that one greater than I is our Lord. He asked, "Will you come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light." Will you say da to that invitation while we stand and sing?